sacrifice. Tapasya of the 100th. Ha, indeed. Chamapayatah. Who is asking pardon? Atmanam unto yourself. Amushya him. Chantum to forgive. Arhasi you ought. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Vaicharanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ji. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, my dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now, he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him. Purport. In this verse, the word Atmanam is very significant. It is a custom among yogis and jnanis to address one another, or even an ordinary man, as one's self. For a transcendentalist never accepts a living being to be the body. Since the individual self is the part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self and the super self are qualitatively non-different. As the next verse will explain, the body is only a superficial covering, and consequently an advanced transcendentalist will not make a distinction between oneself and another. Namo magyanana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam mena tasmay shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam. Namo vishnu padaya krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami iti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatari. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So chapter, we are reading chapter 20, text 1 and 2. Text 1 is भगवान अपि वैकुंठः साकं मधवता विभु यज्ञेर यज्ञपतिस्तुष्टो यज्ञभुक्तम अभासत. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidur, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak. Hare Krishna. So, we have been discussing since many days pastime of King Prithu Maharaj, as how he milked Mother Earth, and because he was completely dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is described, so his kingdom was flourishing like anything, to the extent that its opulence defeated the opulence of heavenly planets. And because of that, Indra became very envious. And when Prithu Maharaj started his horse sacrifices, and he was about to complete it, he was performing 100th one, he had completed 99, and when he was performing 100th one, Indra became very afraid. And being afraid, and because he was envious, he tried to put obstacles in his performance of sacrifices. So he stole the horse which was meant for the sacrifice. And in that process, he introduced many irreligious, irregular systems, irregular sannyas orders. He introduced many cheating religions. And because of that, Prithu Maharaj became very angry. And he took his bow and arrow and he prepared himself to kill Indra, the King of Heaven. So all the priests who were performing the sacrifice, they told him that, my dear King, you cannot do that. Because in sacrifice, only those animals who are meant for sacrifice, They can be only sacrificed, no one else. So you cannot kill Indra. But because he put obstacles in your yajna, so he is your enemy. So we will kill him. You don't worry. We will take care of him. So we will chant those mantras which were never chanted. And by the power of those mantras, Indra has to come in this area, in this sacrificial area, and we will put him into the fire. And thus we will kill him. You don't worry. And they prepared themselves to kill. They were about to put the oblation into the fire, and at that time Lord Brahma appeared in the scene, and he stopped. He said, "Don't do this. This is not good. This sacrifice is meant to please the demigods. Generally, we perform sacrifice to please demigods. So you are performing these sacrifices to please Lord, please demigods. And Indra, he represents all demigods. So Indra, he represents all demigods, and you want to please demigods, and at the same time, you want to kill Indra. It is a contradiction, right? They want to please demigods. Indra represents demigods. Indra is the personification of all demigods. And you want to kill Indra. It's something hypocrisy. Like we people sometime, we are here to please Lord Krishna. And the heart of every devotee is the residence of Lord Krishna. Krishna resides in the heart of every devotee. And we want to please Krishna, but we hurt devotees. So it's a contradiction. How can we please Vishnu or Krishna by hurting devotees? For every living entity, Krishna resides in everyone's heart as a Paramatma. So if we hurt any devotee, and we say, or any person in the creation, it may be animal or it may be man, and we say that we want to please Vishnu or we want to please Lord, that is a great hypocrisy. It's a contradiction. It's not possible. It's a cheating religion. So any religious system which allows animal sacrifice, it's a cheating religion. Point one. Second, any person who hurts other and claim to be the devotee of the Lord, he's also bogus. Like here we can see, they want to please demigods. Indra represents demigods. Indra is king of demigods. And they want to kill Indra. Like once it is described that there was a couple, married couple, husband and wife. So they had a great fight between them. And the fight was so vigorous actually that husband started beating wife. He beat him like anything. He beated him like anything. Then wife, she became very furious. She left husband's house and she went to her father's house. And she told her father that, "My dear father, your son-in-law has beaten me. So you do something." And what did father do? Father, he started beating her own daughter. He also started beating her daughter. And this daughter was bewildered. then father said, "You go and tell my son-in-law that he had beaten my wife, he had beaten my daughter. So I have beaten her wife. And thus I settled the account." But in both cases, who suffered? That lady, that poor lady, twice she was beaten. So when we hurt devotee, we may say he is devotee from different temple, or he is of different caste, or he is from different department. But actually who suffers? Krishna suffers. Because he resides in the heart of devotees. So any suffering given to devotees, actually it goes to Krishna, and Krishna cannot tolerate that. And because of that, we do not advance in devotional service. We say that we are here to please the Lord, but we knowingly, unknowingly disturb, torture, hurt devotees. And devotees heart, Krishna says, Aham bhakta paradhino haiya swatantriva dujaha sadhu vir grastam hridayam bhakter bhakta janapriya. I reside in the hearts of devotees. I am not independent, I am subservient to my devotees. Aham bhakta paradhino, I am dependent on them. And they reside in my heart, and I reside in their hearts. Not to speak of devotees, those who are devotees of my devotee, bhaktera bhakta janapriya, those who are devotees of my devotees, they are also very dear to me. So any living, and Krishna says, Aham Bija Prada Pita, he is the seed giving father of every living entity. Right? Then, so many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims that all these living entities are my part and parcel. So if we torture, if we trouble, if we hurt someone's son, father will be happy? No. So any living entity in the creation, if we hurt them, if we give them torture, if we put obstacles in their devotional service or anything, how Krishna can be pleased by that? He will not be pleased. So Brahma is saying, you don't do this. First reason is that this sacrifice is meant for the pleasure of demigods. And you people and all demigods, they are represented by Indra. And you people want to kill Indra. There is a contradiction. And second thing, because of this sacrifice which you are performing, because of that, Indra introduced so many cheating religions, so many irregular sannyas orders, which in general people will follow. And nowadays we can see there are so many cheating religions and people are confused which religion to follow. Right? There are so many religions. And every religion has got a good number of followers. It may be anyone. They have a good number of followers. Actually they are more than ISKCON, you can say. If you see non-bona fide religions, cheating religions, they have more number of followers than us. And it was all because of Indra and because of actually that sacrifice. So generally, sacrifice yields good result. Because of sacrifice, Vishnu is pleased and we get good result. But here we can see, because of these horse sacrifices, so many irregular sannyas orders had been introduced by Indra. So Brahma said, you don't do it. You stop it immediately. Let it be 99 only. Don't try to complete 100th one. What is the use of such sacrifice? Because of which so many irregular sannyas orders had been introduced. So no need to do it. Better you stop it. Because of our activity some irregular things or some wrong things happen, better to stop it. Even though we may be right. Right? Because of us, if someone is fearful and introduces irregular things, unbona fide things, better to stop it. So you stop it. And Indra, Prithva Maharaj, he obeyed his authority. He obeyed Brahmaji and he stopped his sacrifice. He could have argued, he could have said that, why you are stopping me? You can stop Indra, why you are not stopping Indra? You stop him? But he said, no. Mahajan en gata sa pantha. Whatever Mahajan says or whatever footstep they follow, we should follow. So Brahmaji is one of the Mahajans and Prithva Maharaj knew this very well. So he followed him. He obeyed him. He didn't argue. He didn't say anything. Brahma told him that, you know, both you and Indra, both of you are part and parcel of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is not different from you, so you don't kill him. And Indra obeyed. And we can see this present verse gives the result of that obedience. Because Prithva Maharaj obeyed his authority. Prithva Maharaj obeyed Brahmaji. He didn't complete his 100th horse sacrifice. Still, what result he got? Vishnu personally appeared, Krishna personally appeared in the sacrificial arena. Krishna personally gave his audience to Prithu Maharaj. Just imagine. Prithu Maharaj could not complete because of Indra, his 100th hour sacrifice. But still, even though sacrifices were not completed, still Krishna appeared. And the only reason was, he obeyed authority. He obeyed Brahmaji. He obeyed his superiors. He might have said, no, no, it may be inauspicious. How can I stop? I must do 101. I will kill Indra and I will perform my 100th hour sacrifice. But no, he didn't say that. And Brahmaji also told him that, my dear Prithu Maharaj, you know the path of liberation. By performing this sacrifice, you may attain heavenly planet. You may become king, Indra. But what is the use? The goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And this sacrifice is not good. Because of this, Indra is introducing so many regular sannyas orders. So better you stop it. And he stopped. So following authority is a guarantee that we will succeed in our goal. If we follow authority, we will go back home, back to Godhead. Like once, some disciples of Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what is our fate? What will happen to us? And Prabhupada said that you follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds daily, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada disciples, they say that we have a lot of hope because of this. Because Prabhupada has promised us that follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds daily minimum, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. So because a pure devotee of the Lord has promised it, so Krishna has to fulfill it. Krishna cannot break devotee's promise. If some devotee promises something to someone, Krishna has to fulfill. Krishna may break his own promise or his own oath. He may break. So we cannot trust on that sense on Krishna. But on devotees we can always trust. If a pure devotee of the Lord, a Mahajan, he gives us some promise and we follow them, whatever instructions they give us, then the success is guaranteed. It is sure. So Prabhupada disciples, they are happy that they say that if we follow 16 rounds of chanting, if we chant 16 rounds regularly, if we follow four regulative principles, we will go. And anyone who follows Prabhupada, follows whatever he says, will go back home, back to Godhead. Right? No need to read all the scriptures, because there are so many rules and regulations. Even all the sages at Naimisharanya, they are requesting Sud Goswami that there are so many scriptures and there are so many rules and regulations. So you please select the essence of that. So in that sense, Sud Goswami selected the essence. So he's a Mahajan. So he selected the essence and he gave us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So following authority, following Mahajans, that is very important. And here Brahma is Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. Who is Mahajan? Anyone who is a devotee of Lord Krishna and who follows scripture, he is a Mahajan. So in the Ajamil episodes, Yamraj ji explains to Yamduta the 12 Mahajans, about 12 Mahajans. Who are those? Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janko, Bhishmo, Bali, Vayasaki, Vayam. One is Shambhu. Shambhu means self-born, that is Brahmaji. So here Brahmaji is Mahajan and Prithu Maharaj obeyed him. If we follow any person who is not bona fide, then hell is assured. We will go to hell by following those people who are not bona fide. But if we follow bona fide people, we will go back home, back to God. So Brahmaji is one of Mahajans. Shambhu, Swayambhu, then Narad is there. Then Shambhu, Lord Shiva is there. Then four Kumaras, Kumaro, Kapilo, then Kapildev, son of Devuti. Then Manu, Swayambhu Manu. Then Prahlad Maharaj, then Janak, then Bhishma, and Bali Maharaj, Bali, Vyasaki, Vyasaki, son of Vyasdev, that is Sukhdev Goswami, and Vayam. Vayam means hum. Hum in UP Bihar or Kshatriya kings say hum. So hum means I, myself, that is Yamraj. So these are 12 Mahajans. So anyone who follows these Mahajans, success is guaranteed, success is assured. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada would say that any person who doesn't chant 64 rounds, he is a fallen. And hardly any of us chant 64 rounds. Sometimes maybe in Nirjala Ekadashi we may be chanting, but not regularly. So all of us are fallen. And a fallen person cannot go back home, back to Godhead. But a Mahajan, a pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us concession. He said, okay, you cannot chant 64 rounds, chant 16 rounds. You chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. So no need to worry or no need to be in anxiety that, oh, we are not chanting 64 rounds, we are not doing Nirjala Ekadashi. No. Whatever Prabhupada want, if we do that, our success is assured. No need to worry. So here, this pastime is very instructive. By not completing or not following exact rule, by not completing 100 horse sacrifices, he got the audience of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu personally came and requesting him that Indra has come with me to be forgiven by you. See, Lord is requesting Prithu Maharaj, you please forgive him. If Prithu Maharaj had completed 100 horse sacrifices, what would have happened? He might have got some heavenly planets, he might have become Indra, that's all. But he wouldn't have got the audience of Lord Vishnu. But by following, he got. By following, by obeying his authority, he got the audience. If he would have said, no, I won't do this. I will do 100 horse sacrifice, I will complete it. Then by doing that, he would have offended Brahmaji, the original spiritual master of this material creation. And he wouldn't have got the audience of the Lord. Then Lord would not have come. But here Lord came personally, just being pleased by seeing his obedience to the superiors. So that is the key. That is the key to success, following our bona fide authorities who are non-envious to us, who want our progress, who want us to grow in spiritual life. Such authorities should be followed. Such authorities should be obeyed. So we should become Prabhupada Das or Krishna Das, not Rule Das. No, this is rule and regulation, so I must follow it. No. Sometimes it is required to break the rules, we break. Like in Janmashtami, generally we close the temple by 9 in the night. But in Janmashtami, we keep temple open till 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. Right? Radha Rasbihari does overtime on Janmashtami days. So someone may argue, no, you people are not following rules and regulation. Temple must be closed by 9 and Krishna must be put on bed by 9. He must sleep by 9 or 9:30, whatever. So no, but Prabhupada warns that everyone should get the chance to have the darshan of the Lord. So that's why we break that rule. Even daytime also, 1 to 3, 1 to 4, we keep open the temple. We don't close it. Generally it is rule that when Lord is eating, doors should be closed. But when it is crowded, we don't close. We put parda, that's all. Right? So the rule and regulation we should follow, but it should not be niyamagraha. It should be based on time, place, circumstances, like Prabhupada did. So following the authorities, we can go back home, back to Godhead. And we can see the result here. It's not mental speculation. Here, Prithu Maharaj, he followed Indra, he followed Brahmaji, and Krishna came, Vishnu came in his sacrificial arena. So what do we want? The goal is Sam Siddhim Haritoshanam, to please Lord Vishnu, to please Krishna. That is the goal of life. And it is every day we sing Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Aprasada Nagati Kuto Api. If Guru is pleased, if we get the mercy of Guru, Bhagavat Prasado, we get the mercy of Lord. Yasya Aprasada. But if Guru is not pleased, if Guru doesn't bestow his mercy, na gati kuto api, then there is no gati, then there will be only havoc in the spiritual life. No destination. No back home, back to Godhead. Right? So whatever Prabhupada has said, whatever instructions he has given us, like preaching or book distribution, whatever it may be, we should strictly follow that. Not that it is written in that Puran or it is written in that Puran. That is okay. But for ourselves, ultimate Puran is what Prabhupada has given us. That is Bhagavat Puran and its purport. By following that, all of us can be rest assured to go back home, back to Godhead. But if authorities, they are envious, they don't want our progress, we can disobey them also. Like Naraji, we have example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was going in the forest to perform tapasya, Narad ji came and he said, "Hey, you are a bachcha. Why you are doing this? Why you are going for this austerity and all? You cannot do this. You cannot do tapasya. You better go. You are mere a child. You cannot please Lord Krishna." And what did he say, Dhruva Maharaj? He said, "My dear Narad, if you can help me, if you can tell me how to find Krishna, how to find Vishnu, please tell me. Otherwise, please go away." Immediately he rejected. "Hare Krishna, I don't want you. If you cannot tell me how to get Krishna, I don't want your instructions. But if you can tell me how to achieve Krishna, please instruct me." Means authorities, Naradji is one of the Mahajans, and person like us might have said, "Okay, Naradji is saying means we cannot do. Let us go back home. Not that home, let us go back to our material home where we stay." But he was determined, Dhruva Maharaj. He said, "No, I want Krishna, I want to find Vishnu, I want to please Vishnu, and if you can help me, that is okay. But if you cannot, please go away, I don't want you." Immediately rejected. So anyone who put obstacles in our path of devotional service, we can reject them. And it is not aparad. So one can use one's own power of discrimination, intelligence to decide, to think. Krishna has given everyone intelligence. We can pray to the Lord in such situation. Another significance point is that Lord is Bhava Grahi. So even someone doesn't follow rules and regulations strictly, even if he has a devotion for the Lord, because of some reason someone may not follow strictly rules and regulation because of health reason or some other reason, but if he has devotion for the Lord, Krishna becomes pleased with him. Krishna bestows his mercy upon him. Krishna gives him Vaikuntha, gives him Golok Vrindavan. Like we have example of Vidurji and Duryodhan. So Krishna, Duryodhan offered 56 bhog. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Shri Radharas Vihari ki jai, Sita Ram Nasin Bhakti Hanuman ki jai. Guru Raj Govardhan ki jai. So Duryodhan offered 56 items, 56 bhog to Lord. Lord rejected. Lord did not eat it. And at the house of Vidur, he ate the skin of banana. And actually he relished it. So what did he relish? Did he relish skin of banana? No. Actually he relished devotion. He relished that love by which that love that Vidurani, wife of Vidura, offered those skins to banana skin to Krishna. And Krishna relished it. So as all of us know, like Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We say that Krishna is supreme enjoyer. Krishna himself declares that Bhoktaram Yagya Tapsam Sarva Loke Maheswaram. Right? I am the beneficiary of all sacrifices. So generally we enjoy Krishna. his beautiful form, his beautiful face, his beautiful clothes. What did Krishna enjoy in that? What does Krishna enjoy? So Krishna enjoys actually our prayers. When we offer prayers to him, Krishna enjoys that. Like if someone comes to you and tells you, if someone comes to you and glorify you, definitely we become happy. Huh? Doesn't we become happy if someone comes to us and glorify us? We become happy. Oh, or someone comes to us and offer his obeisances. We become pleased. Oh, he's offering me obeisances. They respect me. In general, Vaishnavas don't want, but in general people want. So if you go to some politician and glorify him, he will be happy. Just words are sufficient to please a person or displease a person. So we offer our obeisances and Krishna relishes that. When we pray that, Lord, I am fallen, please rescue me, please save me, please give me your shelter, Krishna enjoys that. Otherwise we are not so beautiful or our dresses are not so good that Krishna would enjoy that. Right? Shaven-head people, what Krishna will enjoy in that? A body full of blood and stool and urine. Krishna doesn't enjoy that body or this saffron cloth. Krishna enjoys our devotion, our prayers, our obeisances. We should offer our prayers. We should offer our obeisances. And Krishna enjoys that. And Krishna accepts that bhava. So, like few people, they may have back problems, so they don't offer obeisances. But even in the mind, if they offer obeisances, Krishna accepts. Physical activity doesn't matter. What matters is our consciousness. Like Bali Maharaj, when Lord Vamandev came, Bali Maharaj just in his mind just thought to offer his obeisances. He didn't do that. He didn't offer his obeisances. Just he thought within his mind to offer his obeisances. And Krishna accepted it. Lord Vamandev accepted it. And still he is acting as a doorkeeper in the palace of Bali Maharaj. Right? So Krishna accepts our consciousness. He accepts our mood. That's why he is called Bhavagrahi. That is, what can we give to Krishna? Krishna doesn't see what we give to him. He actually sees what we keep. Like if someone has 100 rupees and gives 100 rupees, and someone has 1 lakh rupees and gives 10,000 rupees. Krishna doesn't see that he has given me 100 rupees only and he gave me 1,000 rupees. No. What does he see? That this person, he didn't keep any money for him. Whatever he had given to me. But that person, he kept 90,000 for him. Krishna sees that. Right? Means how much we surrender. How much faith we have on the Lord. A person who has complete faith, that by giving everything to the Lord, I will be not a loser. I will not lose anything. Such a person, Krishna likes. But a person, he thinks, oh, if I give everything to the Lord, what will happen to me? Means we don't have faith. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi. He accepts our emotions. He accepts our bhava. But of course, that doesn't mean we should not follow rules and regulations. Rules and regulations should be strictly followed. As far as organization is concerned, as long as we are in some organization, we should follow all rules and regulations. We must attend Mangala Arati, Japa, everything. Even though we may be Paramhamsa, someone may think that he is a Paramhamsa, pure devotee of the Lord, still he must come for Mangala Arati. Just to set example, he may be dreaming about the Lord in night, whole day he may be thinking about the Lord, but to set an example, he should come. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Janak and all, they were liberated soul. Videha, one of the name of Janak is Videha, means he was not attached to his body. Videha, Deha means body. Vih means virak, unattached. So he was not attached to his body. He was a liberated soul. But still, just to set an example, he performed whatever a general grihasthas are supposed to do. Everything he did. So as far as organization is concerned, everybody should strictly follow whatever minimum rules and regulations are. And of course in the heart, whatever devotion we have, no need to disclose it, no need to reveal it. We can keep it in our heart and we can share it with Krishna, that's all. But rules and regulations should be strictly followed. You cannot say, no, I am a pure devotee, you know, I need not come for Mangal Arati, that's all right for me. No. We are staying in organization, so we must come. We must chant our rounds in the temple. Because we are staying in organization. Other people also, they are dependent on us. In the sense, they see us, they observe us, they learn from us. So if we don't come for Mangal Arati, if we don't chant our rounds, they will say, he is not doing. That person may be a pure devotee. But other person doesn't know that he is pure devotee. He will see what externals are displayed by that person. Right? So to set, just to set an example, we must follow all rules and regulations, not sahajya. The second verse, here Lord Krishna, here Bhagwan is saying, Vishnu is saying, my dear King Prithu, the King of Heaven has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him. So here, Lord Vishnu is requesting Prithu Maharaj to forgive Indra. And forgiven, this forgiveness is one of the great quality. And Prabhupada here mentions in purport that the verse, in this verse, the word Atmanam is very significant. Atmanam means address one another as oneself. Means there is no difference between me and you. You are like me only. And he gives the reason, since the individual self is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self and the super self are qualitatively non-different. Qualitatively, not quantitatively. Means Krishna also wants to enjoy, we also wants to enjoy. But Krishna can enjoy infinitely, we cannot do like that. Right? Krishna can enjoy infinitely. Krishna can maintain 16,108 wives. He can maintain unlimited number of wives. Actually, he is maintaining all of us. But we cannot even maintain two or three people. Right? Nowadays, even husband is also earning, wife is also earning. Nowadays, husband cannot maintain even his own family. Wife has to also earn nowadays. So qualitatively, we are same, but not quantitatively. Krishna also wants to enjoy. He has that tendency. We also want to enjoy. But our enjoyment depends on Krishna. So when a person sees every person in relationship with Lord, then he will not take any offenses of other person. Like, if I commit some mistake, I will expect forgiveness from anyone and everyone. Suppose I commit something wrong, then definitely any person will think that, oh, I did a mistake, please forgive me. Means, I myself is trying to take forgiveness from some other person. In the sense, I have forgiven myself. So if we consider others also as our own self, we will forgive them also. That is a significant meaning, Atmanam. So means, it means, this Indra is like you only, he is not different from you. So as you forgive your own self, please forgive him also. If we commit mistake, generally we go and beg forgiveness. And we expect forgiveness. Please forgive me. Means we are expecting. So for ourselves we expect forgiveness. Similarly for others also, we should expect forgiveness. Means if someone comes to us and beg forgiveness, we should forgive that person. And by forgiving, of course, we cannot change the past. But definitely we can change the future. We can have good relationship with that person. But if we don't forgive, then that grudges will always be in our heart and it will be continue for time immemorial. That enviousness will be there in our heart. And an envious person cannot go back home, back to Godhead. Right? So it is the nature of the great souls to forgive. And we have to practice this forgiveness. So Krishna, he has been forgiving us since time immemorial. We have been committing so many offenses since time immemorial against Krishna. There are many people who say God does not exist, God is impersonal, Krishna doesn't exist, or he was a thief, he danced with other man's wife, he is immoral. But still Krishna is providing them their food, forgiving them. Right? Nobody is committing such offenses against us. Some little offenses someone may be committing, but not offenses like this, that you are rascal, or you are dancing with other men's wife, you does not exist only, or you are impersonal, you are a thief. Not so many accuses. If someone commits some offense, definitely he should be forgiven. And it will pacify our heart also. So we should practice this quality. So the person who has this quality, if we associate with him, we will get that quality. So Krishna, he has infinite forgiveness. Right? He's forgiving us only for all of our offenses. So if we associate with him, we will develop this transcendental quality of forgiveness. And how to associate with Krishna? So Krishna is not different from his holy names. The name of the Lord is as powerful as Lord himself. So if we associate with his name, if we chant his name very seriously, and each and every word goes into our heart through our ears, definitely we will get all those transcendental qualities which Krishna has, of course in a limited quantity. So one should be very sincere in his chanting, because by just chanting this quality can be developed. His holy names, if we chant, we will develop this quality. So one must chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra with full sincerity. One must put his endeavor. We may not be chanting seriously, but at least we should desire to chant seriously. And Krishna fulfills everyone's desire. So if we desire to chant sincerely, seriously, Krishna will fulfill it. So one should chant the holy name of the Lord and develop this quality. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So any questions or comments we can discuss? Mike, Hribul. Prabhuji, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you were saying how you gave a pretty simple formula for going back to Godhead. We chant 16 rounds and we follow the regulative principles. But history shows that it's not so easy. Many devotees aren't able to maintain that. I'm wondering if you could give us some advice as to how we could keep these vows, you know, over a long period of time. In other words, you know, it's simple. Simply chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. But there are so many devotees that come to the movement, mm-hmm. and then they're not able to maintain that standard, simple as it is. Mm-hmm. So how can we avoid being casualties to Maya?
How can we avoid? Anyone wants to comment anything on this? Any senior devotee? Ramrup Prabhu has got some answer.
Hare Krishna. Of course he knows, for our for our benefit is asking. Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if somebody is breaking regulative principles, that means he has lost the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to keep receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that we can achieve by receiving the Guru's mercy. When we offend the spiritual master, then we will lose the mercy, and then we will lose the capacity, power to maintain the vows. So it's not by our own effort we can do it, but only by the mercy of the spiritual master we will be able to keep the vows. So that is the secret actually.
Anything else? Okay.
One thought that occurs to me is that, you know, it's not just offending the Guru, but it's offending any Vaishnava. That's when the mercy is withdrawn. You mentioned how Krishna's hurt, but it's not just that he's hurt, he becomes angry when there's sadhu ninda. And Saturninda isn't just blasphemy, it's a negative attitude. This is Nindadi. This is in the Nectar of Instruction. So Adi means other things other than just blasphemy. So if we harbor some type of a negative feeling towards another devotee, even we're not, we see this devotee, oh, I don't like him, or I don't want to see this person, I don't want to, you know, we harbor these type of things, it's actually also Saruninda. And so that's when the protection and blessings of the Lord seem to be withdrawn. Even Vyasaki Prabhu, he's a Prabhupada disciple, and before the centennial, he went toward all over the world and visited 600 devotees that had stopped practicing Krishna consciousness and were no longer involved with ISKCON. And in observing the centennial, the International Centennial Committee published a magazine representing the petal, there were like different petals of a lotus where the centennial was being observed, and there was one petal for uniting Srila Prabhupada's family. So they published this Unity magazine. And Vyasaki was interviewed in this about his travels all over the world to visit these devotees that had stopped practicing. And he found two common areas, or two common denominators, two things that each of these devotees had. One is that they had a lot of affection for Srila Prabhupada. And everyone felt that way. Somehow or other, they weren't practicing. And two, they weren't able to accommodate the aspect of our philosophy that's contained in this verse 10.14.8. And this is in the prayers of Lord Brahma. Tate nukampam shukshumikshumano bunjane vatmakritam vipakam ridvag vapubir vididan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayava. So one who always seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions, understanding that they're coming about as a result of one's past misdeeds, goes on rendering service with body, mind, and words, offering obeisances from his heart to the Lord, and that person becomes eligible to enter into pure devotional service. So what happens with most of these devotees is that they felt that they were mistreated, maybe by a temple president, yep, maybe by some GBC, maybe by a peer. And so when one feels like that, he doesn't see it as, oh, this person is actually an agent of the Supreme Lord to purify me. Okay, so then he harbors a negative attitude, becomes very, maybe very critical. I said, and the mercy is withdrawn. And maybe there's, from some standpoint, he's right. Maybe he was mistreated. But even though he's right, in the end, he's wrong, because he's harbored this negative attitude towards a devotee. So it strikes me that that's very, very significant. You know, someone becomes critical, you know, and even more than critical, there's some kind of almost hatred or anger, you know, that just won't go away. They usually don't stay. They usually can't, you know, keep taking shelter. Why? Because Krishna is not pleased. To the contrary, he's angry. So then he puts them into the material energy to go through the school of hard knocks to get humbled, you know, and then maybe later on take up the process. I asked the question because I really wanted to see what your thoughts were, but these are also thoughts that occurred to me you know, that are pretty significant. That's the number one problem, you know, the hatimata, the mad elephant offense, you know, of sadhu-ninda.
Thank you, Guruji. Thank you for commenting. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Granta Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai, Nitāi Gaur Premanande.
हाथ छोड़ गया।